Hey guys, it's me, Dave. I want to remind you to have a Valentine's Day that you'll never forget. It's coming up next week. Adam and Eve's got you covered with an amazing offer. AdamandEve.com. Now through Valentine's Day, you're going to receive 50% off just about any item. Go to AdamandEve.com. You're going to find thousands of adult entertainment products, toys, lingerie, a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. Plus, there's more. With every order, you're going to receive a free romance kit. Ooh, that sounds fun. Romance kit, going to throw in a toy for him, special massager for her, maybe a little something extra you'll both enjoy. Plus, they're going to throw in a free adult DVD just to put you in the mood. That's not all. Oh, no. They're going to throw in free shipping on your entire order. Check out AdamandEve.com today for special Valentine's offers, 50% off the one item, free romance kit, free shipping, more stuff. Code Boogie, that's B-O-O-G-I-E. When you go to check out, Code Boogie, B-O-O-G-I-E, AdamandEve.com. Happy Valentine's Day. Get into it. Have some fun. Get sticky. Get weird. You know the drill.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I can see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Yeah. I want to talk. I left the door open. I realized I just pressed start.
Oh, okay.
But then a door's open. So, there'd be ambient sounds. Maybe you'll hear the hummingbirds that are true dicks.
You want me to go close it?
I don't know.
I mean, I can.
Killer start.
It's whatever you want.
I forget. Well, no, we're fine. If it's, you know what? You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
No, rockabilly, like, why is rockabilly any different than the Renaissance Fair?
Yeah, it's just a bunch of goobers dressed up in outdated costumes.
It's a period piece celebration.
Yeah.
But why are the rockabilly guys, like, why are they still, why do they still act like they're real people and not, like, in a silly costume? Like, they still act like, nah, I'm Johnny Snake Eyes, and this is my bird, Betty Sue, and we're real cool dudes. It's like, no, you're a fucking idiot in a costume. And I loved rockabilly.
Yeah, me too.
I went, that's what I say now. Like, I think Mike Ness is the greatest cosplayer out there.
Yeah, I like all Mike Ness's solo stuff. He went deep into the
He went deep thing. To prove himself. Like, it's so much about credibility. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just passively be rockabilly. You just have to have,
you can't drive a Prius and have all
that. No. You have to have the car. You have to have,
you got to have an old muscle car.
You have to have Mel Tillis tattooed over your own face. Maybe we should close that door. Right. I don't know if it's loud or not. I mean, traffic's picking up. Thanks, Dave. Everybody, big round of applause for Dave going out of his way. Close the patio door. Get that idiot squirrel out there chomping around the trees. Yeah. There's a cat. There's a friendly cat out there.
Oh, really? Where?
Did I really update? I was out in the back earlier.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the rockabilly thing, there's no conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Unless part two of reincarnation. What if all these rockabilly dipshits think they're reincarnated? What if somebody's so into rockabilly, they're like, I don't even want to be this. Mm-hmm. I'm just reincarnated as a racist from 1952. As a racist hot rodder from 1952. I went to a car show, and they're like, there was going to be a rockabilly fight. And I'm like, no, you can't take a cell phone video of that. It's not timely.
No. Yeah, it's continuity.
It's a Renaissance Fair.
Man, that hair's got to be a lot of work.
You know what, though? If I could have the hair, I'd have the hair.
I mean, I like the hair, but it just seems like a lot of upkeep.
Yeah. Well, I saw like a classic dude the other day in Hollywood. Not overdone, but, you know, had the cuffed Levi's and Chucks and the white t-shirt. Like basic.
Yeah.
But the hair was on point.
Yeah.
I was like,
do you have some chops?
He wasn't chops. Overdone. And the pompadour wasn't like real tall. It wasn't exaggerated. Some people go full exaggerated psycho Billy. Mm-hmm. But if I had That's kind of what like what turned out to be the what was the white nationalist haircut or the alt-right haircut.
Oh, yeah. Richard Spencer.
But before they did that, that was like a little bit like, all right, guys, throwing a little rockabilly style up top.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That would do. You got a head of hair, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. It's getting thin on top, but I need to try the pompadour.
Man, thick enough. Do something while you still got it.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I did such dumb shit to my hair.
What'd you do? How would you wear your hair?
Oh, colors. When I was in high school, I shaved it, all but the bangs. Which I realized was a skinhead ladies' fashion.
No, just the bangs?
No, you're 16. You do dipshit stuff. Yeah, you do dumb stuff. It was the height of alternative.
Uh-huh.
We're talking like 92.
Yeah.
So, you know, Doc Martens with different color laces.
Yeah.
Flannels.
Now, would you spike those bangs or would they
long. They were long.
So... nothing shaved all the
shaved
thing, just a
and just
strip
a strip of bang like when you see the skin birds do it, they're long. And I remember like wanting to color it, but I'd get in trouble, so I like put food coloring or Kool-Aid in it before I went to the roller rink with my cousin. I had to hide it under my hat and I was sweating and just my whole face was blue trying to meet girls at the roller rink with my dipshit haircut and a blue face. A fucking meth Papa Smurf going rolling around.
Wow.
I mean, you like people talk about what's cringeworthy from their childhood, and like I did all of it 100%.
Really?
Like the most. It's funny how you laugh at what like 90s fashions were, like the big jeans.
Yeah.
You know, padlock necklaces. Mm-hmm. Big earrings, flames on a lot of shirts and stuff. Like basically just the Guy Fieri thing.
Yeah.
Except imagine everybody 18 years old doing the Guy Fieri thing.
Yeah.
But that's what the time was.
Hmm. I never did anything silly with my hair.
No.
I never colored it, never grew it out.
Rural South, I think it's.
Yeah. Never dyed my beard.
I never dyed my beard.
Something about that.
I never had a beard. I wouldn't have been able to grow a beard at the time.
Well, even now, like, you know, our age guys are starting to, some guys will dye their beard because they don't like all that that salt.
Do you mean to cover up the gray?
Covered up the gray.
That always looks like somebody is doing like a witness protection interview.
Yeah.
That always looks like somebody from Gangland with their voice altered and like a chestnut brown beard. And you can tell it doesn't match their skin complexion.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I
did have a wallet chain, though. I had the wallet chain.
Oh, it's so many. I thought about bringing back the wallet chain. I think about
like
how.
The wallet chain.
It's
functional.
If you ride bikes around and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, well, it's originally a motorcycle thing because if your wallet falls out of your pants pocket, you want it attached to you.
Yeah.
Which is like just put it in a different pocket. Yeah. But I did the wallet chains. I always had Vans. Vans are big now. I always was a Vans or Chucks guy. Mm-hmm. And then the Doc Martens. If I knew the show was going to be real, I don't want to lose a shoe. I'd lace up the boots.
Never had the Vans. I didn't want to be a poser. I wasn't a skater. Of course, I wore basketball shoes. I wasn't much of a basketball player.
There was. Well, Vision Streetwear were the ones you could put like Vans. Vans and Chucks were kind of interchangeable.
Yeah.
And, man, what a clumsy time the 90s were.
Yeah, they really were.
Did you graduate in 95?
95.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I can't believe, like, women would have even talked to me. Because I can't think of a women's fashion that would never not be like, I'd still be like, hey, good-looking lady, do what you want. But guys, it's always like, oh, God.
Yeah.
The Kramer shirts. A lot of Kramer shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. Those vintage button-ups.
Yeah. Bowling shirts.
I'm trying to think what was I rocking back in the day?
I mean, I'm wearing cargo shorts right now.
Yeah.
Oh, so
I still have cargo shorts.
I love cargo. I've been telling people saying you can't wear cargo shorts.
Yeah.
Anyway, the rockabilly thing. I also like you can't really go back on it. Like you can't. All that it's unforgiving. Like it's such an investment. Like when you have the car and the tattoos. Like even old punk guys can at least change the fashions.
Mm-hmm.
But the rockabilly thing seems like you're just.
Is there no lateral move from rockabilly?
No.
Kind of on an island all by yourself.
Yeah, an island on fire. Well, no, the tiki vibe, the tiki jam, the Hawaiian tiki vibe is a rockabilly lateral move.
Okay.
Or in conjunction with, they always like the Hawaiian vibe of it.
Can a rockabilly guy transition into a metal dude? Let the pompadour down, let it get shoulder length.
But now you're asking, like, now you're talking about getting into metal when you're mellowing out. So, I mean, you could do whatever you want, but I can't imagine going like, oh, man, you know what? All this smooth, upright bass, I'm sick of it. I need some grindcore. I need some Burzum. I need to listen to Burzum now. And we're all black. We're even more leather and clothes. Well, these guys are barbed. We're all tied because I just saw a picture of this guy, Teddy Boy Greg, and he's a... He's a ridiculous character. He just, you know what he's like? He's like Riff Raff, but for rockabilly.
I like Carl Perkins and I like Deicide. Those are my two bands.
Goddamn, man. I just love that Deicide. So, I mean, that's just a commitment to a scene.
I hate God, but I love Elvis.
I love a slow drawl metalhead. Just a drawled.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to go down and see Crowbar.
I mean, I prefer double bass drum, you know, with the thibbity thap and the thibbity thumps. That's, I mean, that gets me going. That I get a worked up mode of hole on to some of that.
You like grindcore or deathcore?
I mean, you get into that deep, dark Norwegian stuff, and that's a little bit too much for me. They're all eating each other's brains and shit. I'm just trying to tap my toe to some tunes.
I mean, cannibalism aside, Mayhem was pretty dope.
I mean, we all get hungry. I'm a big barbecue fan as the next fella out there. But, you know, now you're just shit out of luck looking for a new bass player up in that Norwegian village. That you only had but one. You went and ate his face off.
Imagine.
Now you got to go in. Now you got to get a keyboard player to fill that in. That changed the whole sound.
Imagine one of those black metal dudes who has like the white face paint, like Diamond face paint. Yeah. No, but he's just from Alabama.
Howdy, y'all. We're going to play a couple. Couple barn burners for you.
This next one here is called Rigor Mortis Lullaby. Goes something like this.
May the flesh fall from your bones. Thanks a lot, everybody. God bless America. This one's for the troops.
That's funny. A black metal band pandering to the troops.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think? We're talking about Satan's Army. Of course, we were talking about Satan's Army there. Now,
good to be back in Tallahassee. Giving up for the troops.
That is where all the death metal, American death metal, is like Florida is the home of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I can't imagine. What if that's like the gig that, you know, you just answer like, listen, I'm a musician. And like, you just get a job where like it's three hardcore, flesh eating, and then you just got to put the costume on. But normally your gig is with like a jazz band at the at the VFW. So just coming home and cleaning up, like your wife's like, use the spare bathroom. This stuff doesn't come off.
Had to buy another kick drum. They wanted to.
They set it on fire at the end of the show. They didn't mention that. I brought my good kit.
It's so funny. Not even into that scene.
Just
at all.
A day player. Just needed the gig. Also, what community is where jazz isn't paying the bills, but the death metal gig has really got the cash just flowing in?
Oh, God. That's funny.
Lord Dungeon Master Sexton? Greg. Okay, good. Okay, Greg. Anyway, listen, can I? He doesn't know if we can call him by the regular names.
Oh, my God. Did you say we're opening with Skull Full of Maggot? Make sure I'm on the right page here.
He's got sheet music. I'm not quite off book yet, fellas, so just give me... Anybody have a music stand, or should I... I'll bring mine from home.
Oh, my God. Why is that so funny?
And a one. And a two. Oh, we're not going to count off? Okay, all right.
Oh, man, they need to...
making fun of that, and meanwhile, my friend, whose name is in my phone as Mario Bloodbath, just texted me. Great guy, just had a kid. Yeah. He did. It's like the punk thing where you know everybody's last name is just the name of the band. So yeah. He's in a band called Madison Bloodbath. He's an absolute sweetheart. Him and his wife are absolute sweethearts, but his name's Mario Bloodbath in my phone.
That is too funny. Oh. So what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. I don't know. I kind of just want to keep talking about unlikely death metal scenarios. I wanted to write a script where they, like... It's a death metal band in Florida, and they realize the only... Because there are... I guess there's some movies being made, serious movies about, like, the North, like Burzum and Mayhem and all those guys. But I want to do one, like, where they realize the only way to make a name for themselves is to actually kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, a bumbled crime caper about trying to plan a murder. But it's just a bunch of teenagers and corpse paint. Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know, like, you can't choke somebody with... Choke them with, like, piano wire. I just brought guitar strings. That's all I have. And they just keep breaking when you're trying to choke somebody.
Did you ever go through a black metal phase?
When I first moved to L.A. and got LimeWire, and I was like, oh, I could just... That was like a Napster-type thing.
Oh, okay.
Where it was like, oh, I could just get any music... Now, and it's before you realize the implications of, like, oh, the stealing. But, like, oh, I'm stealing from a racist murderer. Yeah, no, I'm going to download a couple of your tunes. Mm-hmm. But I would listen to some of it, but it would definitely give way, like, the straight up, like, Cookie Monster, double bass stuff. But, you know, early, it wasn't black metal, but, like, early Mastodon and stuff like that, that was just real heavy. And I'd never listened. I wasn't a metal guy growing up. And so my metal phase kind of hit in my mid-20s. Mm-hmm. Metal phase. And then I remember I lived with Matt Bronger, and we got LimeWire. And, like, what's the most extreme music we could download? Mm-hmm. So we found, like, all the most racist, violent stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, of every genre. Like, the most – like, he knew all about hip-hop. Like, what's the most violent, preposterous hip-hop? And I would download, like, Screwdriver and stuff like that. Just to, like, I've never heard it. I knew of the band. And then I'm like, oh, this is on my computer, and you can trace this? I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, I just wanted to hear it. And I didn't think, like, to look it up on YouTube temporarily. I'm like, oh, I'm just downloading files of racist skinhead music. Yeah. Just so we – just drunk, trying to shock each other. No endorsement at all.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, have you heard of these guys? Well, have you heard of these guys? I can't remember his rap stuff. I remember – losing my mind listening to Ghetto Boys when was it One-Eyed Willie D? Who's the little person? Yeah.
Bushwick Bill.
Bushwick Bill actually rhymed bitches with britches, which seems obvious, but I'd never heard it. I was walking down Vermont and had to stop and laugh. Yeah, so, and they're like, lick on my scrotum. I'm like, and I had to just pause at how ridiculous that I forget whichever song it was. I was howling. I was so funny. I was like, how have I been not allowing this in my life? How have I not been listening to ridiculous rap music?
I was a big metalhead when I was a teenager, and then I got into this phase, this scene I was running with, to where, like, somehow our masculinity and testosterone was connected to how heavy the music you listen to. Like,
yeah.
And it just got, like, ridiculous. Like, it all started with, like, Pantera.
Yeah.
And compared to, like, the bands of the day, that was, like, the most extreme.
No, Pantera was...
So Pantera started it, but then it's, like, then you find, like, Sepultura, and then you crossed over to, like... you know, just the straight on Cannibal Corpse and all that.
Yep.
There was a we had a college radio station in Atlanta, Georgia Tech's radio station, WREK. I think it was 91.1.
The Wreck.
Every Friday night they played Wreckage. And it was like 4 hours of just like just unlistenable. Like
yeah.
Like and like you would think like, all right, trying to segue from like Pantera to something like that. Like, oh, this is even more metal, more extreme. I'm even more of a badass because I listen to it.
Yeah.
But it just became like, like you said, just that Cookie Monster, just like, even people who were into that music, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, like, okay, this is a clown. Well, that was like what the term power violence is, a type of music that was just, it went from the, like, oh, pop punk, then you went a little harder stuff, but then you went, like, if you got into hardcore music, which was real bro-y, and the power violence, they were all pretty hilarious dudes, though. Uh-huh. So I think they were just kind of making fun of it. And they're like my buddy's band, Kung Fu Rick. And they were just...
Man, that's a great name for a band.
It was just like, yeah, they would just stop. And you just see them breathe like, okay. One, two, three, four. They're just running around chaos. And just the idea that they practiced.
Yeah.
That they would get together anytime, like to walk through a practice space and hear out of one room, like, all right, no, you're doing it. No, I'm three. We're going on three.
Can anybody tell?
Yeah. But it was a sight to behold. I mean, that's why I think why all the pageantry and the stage show is part of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I still appreciate a band that, like, they just put on the show, especially when it's like, okay, opening band, there's nobody there for you yet. Not even a big concert. Just can't remember this one band. They're all like real, real big dudes. And the guy would still just jump into the drum set like Kurt Cobain, but like 300 pounds.
Wow.
Like, like you're going to pierce something like a cymbal stand's going to go through your gut. Just like, and you could tell they never replaced the equipment because you'd see them again like in 2 weeks. And things are even shittier. All the cymbals are broken. They sounded even worse and they weren't good to begin with.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. The good times.
The good old days.
Over at
Rock and Roll.
Over at the Big Horse.
Oh, wait. That's not them.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Who do you think that was? Yeah.
Give me some of those vocals.
Yeah, where?
Here they come.
Where is it? Where?
That's Mayhem.
That's, yeah. Let's see. The baddest dudes of Scandinavia. See that? No, I can get down with that.
Yeah, that's. That's a slow tempo for them.
It's always an intro, though. Well, they get it. All right.
Yeah.
Here it is.
I want to hear those Cookie Monster vocals, but leave it to me to get the instrumental track. So what else going on, buddy?
Well, it still beats the rockabilly, like...
I mean, it all sounds the same. I like it, but...
Get your gal in your car and a six-pack of beer, and we're going to the point, and skiddy-doo, gonna race for pink slips. Like, every... It's like...
Not a lot of rain.
Yeah, it's like, how much can you do? I'm gonna stand on the base. I stand on the other side of the base. Holy shit. I hate taking this thing to gigs. Like... I see a drunk rockabilly guy trying to load up an upright bass. Yeah, I'm sorry, that's not going to fit in your 57 Chevy. Yeah, you got the minivan. It's got to happen that way.
That is cool, though, an instrument that big. Like, just something neat about when the instrument's taller than you are.
Yeah, but you could tell those guys didn't have to play well to get. You got the upright, you're in.
Yeah.
I was in a ska band just because I had a saxophone. Couldn't play for shit, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Do we want to...
what do you want to get into?
I guess we'll talk about this reincarnation, since we're talking about... It sort of ties in. People playing these old roles, people being old souls.
Yeah.
If I'll come into contact with the people that are a little more mature than their age.
Yeah.
You know, but not often, which maybe that's why, as we were discussing in last week's episode. Oh, by the way, I'm in China right now.
Oh, yeah.
Magically.
That's pretty cool.
I know, right? I reincarnated into a different guy here. I think maybe the idea that a soul can pass on. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not going to call bullshit on it straight out.
Oh, yeah?
But you have some examples that are a little bit haunting.
I mean, there's so many stories of possible reincarnation. And like I said on the last episode, most of them involve children recounting facts and accounts that they're not really supposed to know or even have access to that knowledge at a certain age. A lot of 3- and 4-year-olds telling their mom and dad about, you know, really detailed, you know, facts about where they used to live in mm-hmm. another country, or maybe they were involved in a World War I or something like that. But there's just so many cases of it. I picked out a few here. I think I mentioned last week briefly about this guy named Jeffrey Keane. It's this dude still alive. A couple years ago.
If he's reincarnated, so he'll never die.
Jeffrey Keane, he's assistant fire chief in Westport, Connecticut. And after some weird events had happened to him and some research, he discovered many uncanny parallels between his life and the life of Civil War General John B. Gordon. Mm-hmm. And if you want to just Google John B. Gordon, Jeffrey Keane, you'll see a photograph of each of these. And they do look like a lot alike.
John B. Gordon nailing that rockabilly style.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that kind of balding pompadour with a goatee.
I want another crossover between Confederate Civil War reenactors and rockabilly guys.
Ooh,
I wonder if there's some guy, like, just the progression of your racism from the 50s to back into when you really fought for the South. No offense to our Southern listeners. All right, anyway.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, this dude, Jeffrey Keane, he wrote a book called Someone Else's Yesterday. Mm. It details his amazing journey of accepting the fact that he's being guided to discover his past life as General Gordon. And to paraphrase, Keane and his wife were on vacation. They were somewhere in Maryland, and they drove past a Civil War cemetery. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was a battlefield. I'm sorry, Civil War battlefield. And he not even being, you know, it's not like he was a Civil War buff or history buff or anything. He claims he, you know, just had very basic common knowledge of all that stuff. But they drove past this battlefield, and something just made him stop the car and get out and walk around this battlefield. And he describes it as just having this just incredible feeling of familiarity
mm-hmm.
and also trauma. And he says he started crying when he was just walking around this battlefield, and just something was drawing him to it. And he did some research, or he did a little bit of research, but he found a picture. This was in Antietam, and he found a picture of General John Gordon, and was like, "Holy shit, that dude looks just like me!" And went on to do a bunch of research and found out that old General Gordon he didn't die in Antietam. But when he was 30 in the battle, he was 30 years old, Battle of Antietam, he got shot in the face. And he had like 2 or 3 wounds in his face. And he survived that, like, lived to be about 70.
That's what I was reading. They look like musket grazes, is what the thing I'm reading says.
But those wounds line up with some weird scars and birthmarks on old Jeffrey Keane's face.
Mm-hmm.
The same general area where old Gordon got shot in the face, Jeffrey Keane has these weird scars and birthmarks. So, man.
I wish these websites looked better.
Yeah.
Come on, Light Force Network.
Yeah.
And it looks like this. You want me to believe you, at least make it look like it's from the 21st century. Anyway.
In Keane's book, talking about visiting that battlefield, little excerpt, he says, "A wave of grief and sadness and anger washed over me. Without warning, I was suddenly being consumed by sensations. Burning tears ran down my cheeks. It became difficult to breathe. I gasped for air. I stood transfixed in an old roadbed. To this day, I cannot tell you how much time transpired, but as these feelings, this emotional overload passed, I find myself exhausted as if I had run a marathon. Crawling up the steep embankment to get back to the road, I turned and looked back. I was a bit shaken, to say the least, and wondered at what had just taken place. It was difficult getting back to the car because I felt so weak. I did not have any answers, just questions. This isn't a very good excerpt at all."
Well, there's pictures. I'm on lightforcenetwork.com. and you'll know it because it looks like a website for a pizza parlor from 1996. They're showing pictures of these scars. I don't know, man.
Well, get this.
All right.
Oh, Gordon got shot in the face when he was 30, like I said. Survived it. 15 years before Keen had this experience, before he figured out, you know, what was going on there and had this weird draw to that battlefield. 15 years before that, he had a weird connection. He said around his 30th birthday, he began having severe pain in his jaw, which grew steadily worse, so much so that he had to be driven to the emergency room where they ran some tests. They couldn't find anything.
He had a musket in there.
Eventually, the pain slowed and subsided and vanished altogether. It occurred back in 77, around his 30th birthday. 15 years later, Keen discovered that General Gordon was wounded in the face at the sunken road near that battlefield in 1862 during the Battle of Antietam. He was also 30 years old at the time. So when General Gordon was 30, he got shot in the face, and then by some weird circumstances, O'Keen just had these weird pains around his 30th birthday. I don't know. Some of these connections you can stretch, you know. But,
sure, but still,
that
okay.
That's pretty odd. They didn't know what – there was no –
You can establish if Jeffrey Keen had prior knowledge of this general.
He did or did not?
No, I'm wondering, like –
Oh, he says he didn't. Or he didn't have much knowledge about the Civil War in general prior to this. So it's not like – I don't feel like he was just some lifelong Civil War buff who was just trying to find a connection.
Civil War buffs are buffs.
I always wanted to be a buff.
That's like those Civil War reenactors. That's like one stage removed from rockabilly. Like they take the costume off, but I think they're still – their mind's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An odd hobby. I get it. History is interesting.
Yeah. Cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling yourself it's for, like, you look back, you realize, like, oh, these guys really go all out to educate people. Mm-hmm. And then later in life, you realize, like, you guys couldn't give a shit if anybody showed up to watch. You want to just do this.
Yeah. Here's another interesting one. Where did this guy? Oh, yeah. 8-year-old James Leininger of Louisiana, 8 years old, began talking about aviation. When he was 2 years old, he started talking about aviation to his parents, started talking about airplanes and shit, as a two-year-old. And his parents reportedly...
Well, talk about, like, I like airplanes, or jet propulsion actually involves air compression being pushed through a series of fans after ignition.
His parents reportedly knew nothing about the subject. They were amazed when their little boy started displaying such an extensive knowledge of planes. So right there, they're claiming they didn't know anything. And so it'd be different if, you know, he was just subconsciously soaking in all this conversation if they had been talking about all this stuff. Parents didn't know anything about airplanes.
Hanging around Northrop Grumman.
Yeah. 2-year-old James Leininger just starts talking about airplanes. Their amazement turned to alarm when James started having nightmares about being shot down by a plane with a red sun on it, a Japanese plane.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about having dreams and memories of being Lieutenant James McCready, James McCready Hudson, a World War II fighter pilot from Pennsylvania. He had been killed in Iwo Jima more than 50 years earlier. Andrea's mother said that James would scream at the top of his voice, "Airplane crash! On fire! Can't get out! Help!" Like, that's creepy. Your 2-year-old boy just, "On fire! Help! Mama!" Kicked and pointed to the ceiling. Later, James told his parents that he had flown a plane called the Corsair from a boat called the Natoma. When James' father decided to do some research, he discovered that there had been a small escort carrier called Natoma Bay, which had been in the Battle of Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
And there really was a pilot named James Hudson. His plane was hit by the engine of a Japanese fire. Hit in the engine by a Japanese fire on March 3rd, 1945. According to Jim Tucker, a psychologist at the University of Virginia, Hudson's plane crashed exactly the way that young James Leininger had described. So that's weird. How do you explain that?
When did this happen? When did this kid? What year?
I don't know. Oh, it says 50. I think this is 90s, late 90s.
Oh yeah, okay. Here I'm at factsarefacts.com. Bruce and Andrea say they began to see signs of a spirit linked with their son when James was 20 months old. While moving from Richardson, Texas to Lafayette in February of 2000, Bruce took James to the Kavanaugh Flight Museum in Addison, Texas. Andrea says planes had always been his fixation. He spent hours playing with toy planes and would yell when he saw a real plane in the air. Okay. Kept wandering back to the World War II section. That's what, okay.
Like, how would a little boy know about, you know the names of the planes?
So. Well, here it's saying, like, he was signing his drawings James 3.
Wow.
Before his father knew about James Houston Jr. Hmm. So he would be, okay. Signing it like he's the third in succession.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one's weird when it's it is a weird one. I don't want to tell you about this one unless, like I was saying last, if it was some, like, if it's like one of these autism type things where they absorb information about one particular topic in an odd way.
Mm-hmm.
But then where was he getting this history? Where's a two-year-old just also exposed to that history?
Yeah. Yeah, that's some of the craziest stuff. Like, when they have no point of reference, it's not like they – even at 2 years old, even if you watched a documentary, you're not going to retain that information. You're not going to comprehend what's going on at that age.
No, and that – I mean, you can sit there and, like, okay, what – I would, like, what – did they have a – did they have a cable TV at the time? Was there programs, any kind of program on any kind of channel that was giving this specific information?
Yeah.
Like, where would – that's my question. Like, where could the information have been available?
Mm-hmm.
Even to this kid, even extreme case scenario, he is like, you know, whatever sort of autism or something that would cause you to retain information like that. Where would he even get it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's some weird shit, man. There's this other lady.
What's that kid doing now?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, what's James the Third? What if James the Third is just out there fucking off now? 18? He's like some weird low-rent carnival celebrity. By the way, I'm reincarnated from a fighter pilot. Anyway, so I haven't really applied myself in this life because I think I've earned it. I think I earned it. He's trying to get veterans discounts. What if that's it? What if he's like a real dick? I was previously this guy shut down World War II, so you can give me 15% off here at the IHOP. I want it now. James Leiniger, 2017. Where is he at? I wonder if he could fly a plane.
Well, his mom says that
he's a special little boy. He's the most gifted young man she's ever seen.
Big boy pilot. His mom, Andrea, says at first she was doubtful, but then she started to realize that James was only watching kids' shows. They weren't watching any World War II documentaries or conversing about military history whatsoever. But as time went by, Andrew began to wonder what to believe. In one video of James at age 3, it shows him going over a plane as if he's doing a pre-flight check. Like he's inspecting an airplane at 3 years old. Another time, Andrea said she brought him home a toy plane. He pointed out what appeared to be a bomb on its underside. She says James corrected her and told her it was a drop. Oh, she pointed out what looked like a bomb. James corrected her, told her it was a drop tank. She said, I'd never heard of a drop tank. She said, I didn't know what a drop tank was. But apparently young James knew that was indeed a drop tank. So, yeah, where's a three-year-old get such extensive knowledge of airplanes?
Well, this is Paul Kurtz on scienceencyclopedia.spr.ac.uk. Remember that website.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Kurtz is the late founder of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. And he was saying that the parents were maybe self-deceived or, quote, fascinated with the mysterious and built up a fairy tale, saying that maybe young James gained his knowledge by overhearing his parents' conversations. You know how married couples talk in depth about very specific World War II air battles, naval air battles. Rachel and I, boy, we get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel, we talk about the Gulf of Tonkin. You can't – we start over – last night, we were like, oh, the entire Vietnam conflict was instigated.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we don't even have a kid. So – but he said, oh, that's because they went to that first trip to the flight museum, saying that one of the planes on display was a Corsair and that this kid was maybe just gifted and had picked up a lot of stuff there. But – they contacted the Kavanaugh Flight Museum, and there was no Corsair on display between the times that he would have visited. This skeptic guy looks like he's really trying to pull stuff out of his ass. Thinks that maybe James signed his drawings James 3 because that was his age at the time. That I can buy. But saying that the Natoma Bay thing is questionable because he only said Natoma, not the full name. I don't know. This guy doesn't seem like... Yeah, this one I'm like, oh boy, all right, people trying to poke holes in it, and I'm not believing they're poking. The pokage isn't holding any water. James, Houston, Nova. Okay, this is saying, arguing that if it was a fraud, it would have to be a pretty goddamn good one. That's my editorializing, but. Ooh, how about this? James, in a 2013 clip on Fox and Friends, James, 15 years old, describes how the nightmares ceased after a spiritual release experienced at the site of the crash. James goes on to suggest that reincarnation can be the source of what seems like innate knowledge. He adds that he occasionally remembers his previous life but is moving forward with his current one. Okay, so... some sort of reconciliation to take place to, set things right. Had to go back to the scene of the crime. I had to make good. That's almost like a.
Well, how do you go about that? How do you set things right?
Well, I don't. He went there and it just says a spiritual release. It doesn't. publication of Soul Survivor, which is a book about it. James recognized the other veterans. Okay. In that book, in a news broadcast, a Fox 8 news broadcast, they said they had interviews with Natoma Bay veteran Leo Pyatt describing how James recognized other veterans. And Houston's sister, Ann Barron, describes how James knew things that Houston had done as a boy and other private family matters.
Oh, wow.
Like, this is either getting everybody in on a... Oh, here's what he did. They traveled in a small boat to the site of Houston's death, but James was able to point out the exact spot. The Leiningers performed a memorial service, and James threw a bouquet of flowers into the sea over the wreckage. The trip appeared to bring about a healing catharsis as his drawings afterwards became less destructive and chaotic. And that was in 2009, so that would mean he was 10 or 11. What? Okay. Is that... Now, if you can just get rid of the feelings or anything, how is that not... It's not possession. But if we're going to sit here and believe in reincarnation... That could segue into an idea about possession, which would have to be a different episode. Well, maybe not, though. Reincarnation is it's alley-ooped. But what's the connection? Why would this kid who was born, in San Francisco, like what's the, like there's no family tie. It's just like, oh, no, here's like a random, like how lottery balls get shot out.
Yeah.
You know, just bouncing around and all of a sudden, oh, 27. That's. Houston Jr.'s soul popped up, and it's going into this kid.
Yeah.
Like, it just lines up randomly. Also, Now, conveniently, two Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Or did Houston Junior's soul have sort of a choice to guide it into, is he going home? Where's he from? Where's he from originally?
Who, Houston?
Yeah. I'm trying to find some, you know, why it would lead to that guy.
Hmm.
You know, why it would lead to, he was born in San Francisco. Leininger was born April 10th, 1998 in San Francisco. They moved to Dallas and Lafayette. Like, and it happened after the move to Lafayette. So when he was two, I mean, that's kind of, all right. I don't, you know, this one's got me, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similar stories where, I mean, basically the common theme is little kid, little 3 and 4 year olds mm-hmm. having extensive knowledge on shit they shouldn't know.
Oh, James McGrady, Houston Jr. of Pennsylvania. So, you know, I don't. That's weird. You got any more with little kids?
Yeah, this there's a lady named Barbro Carlin. She's Swedish. Long story short, she claimed that when she was a child, she started claiming that she was a reincarnated version of Anne Frank. Of course, yeah. You know, from the Diary of Anne Frank fame. And begged her parents to take her back to Holland, I guess the Netherlands, Holland. It's the same thing, right?
I'm gonna screw that one.
And
up.
Who are the Dutch? Anyway, they took a trip. She finally convinced her parents to go visit the house, the Anne Frank house. And she's a little girl. And when they got, nobody in the family had ever been to the Netherlands there. And when they got to the city, she knew exactly how to navigate the streets.
How old? At what age?
Like as a child, let's see, 12 years old.
All right.
12 years old, she knew exactly how to get. Didn't need a map, didn't need directions. Like, no, here's how we. And she led them directly to the house.
But, I mean, is that it?
That's not it. I mean, there's. She talks about, you know, having. She just knew a lot about the experience that Anne Frank went through. She knew a lot of the details, knew exactly where in the house she was hiding, knew the layout of the house. So that's there's an example of someone, you know, claiming to be someone historically famous.
What year did this happen?
This was, let's see, she was born in 54, so this would have probably had to have been mid-60s when this happened.
Okay. And when did Anne Frank's diary get published? When did Anne start rolling in that sweet publishing cash?
I don't know. I don't know when that was published.
Let me see. Published 1947. I wonder what the, you know, well, okay, yeah, popularity. In the pose of 1947, wildly popular at the time. And this was when, 1955?
No, she's born in 54, so this okay. Probably early to mid-60s is when they took that trip over there.
Okay, I mean, there's, at the time, it was so popular at that time period, according to Wikipedia, that there was a play in 1955, a movie in 1959. Like, I feel this is something where you could have really absorbed a lot of information, mm-hmm. you know, not speaking like I know, but I'm, you know, I wonder what post-war Earth, you know, what was the popular slice after World War II? I mean, that was, you know, the celebrating war heroes, learning all about this stuff. It was such a good versus evil, seemingly clear-cut battle that book, you know, and that inspiring, you know, women and young girls with her courage. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see that being something that's just absorbed information, mm-hmm. like a 12-year-old gets obsessed. Mm-hmm. Like, there's 12-year-olds that can tell you everything about a certain subject, so they don't have to worry about anything else. Mm-hmm. That one, I'm gonna, I don't know.
There's another famous story out of India. This girl named Shanti Devi. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. She's born in 1926. In Delhi, India. Delhi. Yeah, Delhi. Anyway, Delhi. She claimed, long story short, she claimed as a young girl that she had a previous life and she was married to a guy. Ah, shit, where'd his name go? Oh, man, doing great on these notes here. She, long story short, she was married to, she claimed to be married to some dude. Ah, I can't find his freaking name. But,
y'all gonna do a drop D tuning for this one again? Just saying, it's getting a little bit predictable. Okay, but all right, here we go.
God damn it, I lost my name.
Some fella. Is it a fella in India?
She was married, whatever his name is, let's call him Tom. She says, I used to be married to a guy named Tom, and I died giving childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
And the child survived, but she died. And sure enough, her parents did, and she begged her parents to take her back to where she was originally from in, what's that town? Mothra? I don't know. And
Mothra?
You're like, that doesn't sound right, does it?
Mangling this one, buddy.
But yes.
It's an Indian guy named Town from town of Mothra.
They did some research, and sure enough, there was a dude named Tom who, it's not his real name, but for the sake of the story, and who did lose a wife to childbirth a year previous.
Mm-hmm.
She went back to that town, knew everything, knew where everybody, knew, could identify people, met her old sister.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed her old sister. And the sister even was like, oh, yeah, I knew that was my sister who died during childbirth. But the young girl, Shanti Diva, I knew that was, my sister.
Right.
This young girl, Shanti, knew everything about this family, everything about this town, had never been there. So just a lot of facts just line up to where, how the hell do you know what's going on in this little city?
If you could go back and be, if you could reverse reincarnate, if you can be deincarnated,
mm-hmm.
who would you be? Is deincarnation a thing?
So go back and be whoever I wanted to be?
Yeah. I'm making up a word, deincarnation. That's the name of the metal band.
Mm-hmm.
Deincarnate.
Deincarnate.
Oh,
I'd like
to transport. This is an Urban Dictionary, to transport the soul of a lame brain sluggard back to an earlier, more primitive point in time. get me.
Probably go back and be Mickey Mantle.
Yeah,
former Yankee slugger. Think about him.
Wasn't he frozen?
No, that's Ted Williams.
What happened to Mickey Mantle?
Anything I just cool? lived a good life. He's just. Just a power hitting, switch hitting slugger for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Social meds.
Mm-hmm.
Just drinking and boozing and partying and having a good time. This guy, him and Billy Martin, they're just slaying everything in New York City. Just imagine being 22 and rich in 1950s New York City. Just have a good time.
Just killing Italians.
Yeah. Just killing Italians.
I don't know what happens in New York. I'd be David Lee Roth, even though he's not dead. I just want to be David Lee Roth.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Read Crazy from the Heat, David Lee Roth.
Oh, yeah?
He was a fucking paramedic.
That's right. Yeah, I knew that.
After Van Halen was a paramedic in New York City.
Did we talk
about that on here?
No, but that's like Tom Segura's joke about Steven Seagal being a sheriff in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, there's a real world possibility that we could go to Louisiana tonight, get in a bar fight, and Steven Seagal could arrest us. Same thing with David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
Imagine cracking your head ride and David Lee Roth is there.
Yeah, just getting you in the ambulance, it's like zippity bop. I would mind. If I died, I'd be like, I went out.
Oh, my God.
Big.
Where was he a paramedic at? What state? What city?
In Manhattan. New York. New York City. Really? Yeah.
Why?
Because the guy just does what he's like scaling all the massive peak, like was a mountain climber after Van Halen. The guy just does whatever he wants, but like whatever he wants with like cool shit. Like, man, I just want to climb these mountains, man. And then he does it. He's great. Like, his autobiography is great. You could tell he's involved in the writing of it. You know, he's like, yeah, I don't have any kids, but I got a pretty bitchin' looking passport. And then there's stories about him getting detained in Nepal trying to climb Everest and shit.
Jeez.
Okay, to go back, though, what if, all right, this whole idea that maybe we're a simulation, mm-hmm. this Elon Musk thing, that maybe we're a digital simulation, and reincarnation is a rare but possible glitch, that only so many storylines can exist, and they just happen to borrow one storyline of a player that is no longer active and put it into a newer player.
Yeah, I get that. Like, what if there's mm-hmm. just only so many souls to go around? From
yeah.
the beginning of mankind, you know, millions of years. I mean, all right, here's a...
Or they get logged, or like, or instead of like, some people are not, you know, maybe weren't significant. I would say a war hero in a scope, in a story scope would be deemed significant. Mm-hmm. Even if you're, think of it as like a video game, like, oh, all the battles are a big part of... society and transformation of a populace, and this was a guy who died. Okay, so that's a noted story in there somewhere,
uh-huh.
as opposed to somebody like, I just kind of worked at FedEx,
yeah,
and then I didn't have any kids, and I kind of I got divorced when I was 50, and then I had a heart attack when I was 53.
My past life, I was a Burger King cook.
yeah, and so that's like not really coming up a lot,
yeah,
as a possible storyline, but. I don't know. I still don't totally understand the idea that we're all a simulation. But I like it. It's you know what it is. It's a nerd religion. It's the equivalent of a Bible banger going, the Lord works in mysterious ways, is a computer programming like, well, maybe we're all in a simulation.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's an open-ended excuse to not know, not have an explanation. Which I like it better than the Lord works in mysterious ways. I like, well, maybe it's all a simulation and we're just all predetermined pieces.
Hmm.
But a little mistake was that war hero got put in this goofy kid.
Well, I like the concept and the idea of just recycling souls. Because think about, all right, there's 7 billion people on the planet today. This is...
First single from Deincarnate.
This is probably impossible to calculate, but I wonder what the cumulative number of human beings that have ever lived. If there's 7 billion alive today, going back from the beginning of time, I mean, it's got to be hundreds and hundreds of billions, you know. So just for simple math, I'm looking it up.
How many people have ever lived on Earth?
Yeah.
All right. This PRB.org, Population Reference Bureau. Just don't make me read a thing. Just give me a number. Go on. Then. Oh, okay. Here. As of 2011. This isn't right. This is just the population for... have ever lived on Earth.
Yeah, I don't know how you would calculate that, but I don't know. For simple math, let's say.
Oh, here we go. That's 107,600,700,000.
Okay,
roughly.
100
roughly,
billion
roughly,
people
roughly.
Have lived.
100 billion, yeah. 107 billion people have been on Earth.
It's got to be more since there's 7 billion currently.
Well, I like how they got it down to 791.
Yeah.
Like, that's the last number of a... all-time global census.
Yeah. Who's that last person?
It's like, and we got Jeff. All right, that's it. It's 107,602,707,791 because we forgot Jeff on the last count.
But what if, all right, so there's 100 billion people who have lived. I mean, what if there's only a billion available souls and then just you got to recycle?
Well, it's like storylines, it's like jokes, it's like songs. There's only so many ways you can arrange stuff. And it's the little sprinklings here and there. Like, you can only make chili a certain way until it's not chili anymore. No,
yeah.
It's the little spices. You make it all different, you know. This is my attempt to make a palatable explanation for myself. You know, like, okay, it's still going to show up the same way somewhere else in the world.
Uh-huh.
But that's just describing similar people. That's not describing reincarnation.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of leads me to this next little topic. But like you know how there's only so many looks. There's only you know how when you see people like, oh, that guy looks like Kyle, or that guy, like, you know,
yeah.
People have similar, you know, facial features and characteristics.
Yeah.
Probably because it's just only so, it's like Mr. Potato Head. There's only so many combinations.
That, yeah. If you're working with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth on a face.
Speaking of which, though, Google.
Speaking of which.
Google reincarnated celebrities. And the first thing that should pop up should be an article from scenics.org. 35 celebrities in their mind-bending historical lookalikes. Some of this stuff is stretching, but some of it is pretty dead on. If you go to that page, first one they show is Peter Dinklage.
Well, that one's just mean.
Yeah, because they're both little people. But the next one, you got Jennifer Lawrence and her Egyptian twin actress, Zubaydia Thawrat.
But see, this stuff, okay, you're going to get Jennifer Lawrence in a particular picture with her hair pulled back and dark eye makeup.
Yeah, some of these are stretching. But there's a few that are pretty...
You got Orlando Bloom and Nicolae Grigorescu.
Similar.
Grigorescu. But then you got hair and facial hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give it to me. Shave them bald with no makeup.
Yeah.
And tell me. The Alec Baldwin one does look.
Yeah. Better. Alec Baldwin and President Millard Fillmore. I mean, the Galifianakis one. Yeah. They have similar hair and a mustache. Galifianakis and Louis Vuitton.
Jimmy Fallon and Mihir Kayan. That one. That one looks
Who is Mihir Kayan?
I don't know.
Do you know who that is?
I don't know.
But that looks just like Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon and Mihir Kayan. This Leonardo DiCaprio one.
And Judy Zipper.
Whoever that one. Judy Zipper is. Looks just like Leo.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis and General Douglas MacArthur. The Justin Timberlake one. Look at that one. That's pretty good.
If you cover up certain features when you compare them.
Yeah.
Now, fuck this. Sylvester Stallone and Pope Gregory the Ninth. It's a drawing of the Pope. You can't put a fucking drawing and then have Rocky's mangled face to match. Fuck this website.
Okay. Now, this is the one, though, that you can't deny is pretty friggin' dead on. Nicolas Cage and a Tennessee man from the Civil War era.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
Well, everybody thinks Nicolas Cage is a vampire.
But look at that.
Nicolas Cage, I think, is a guy who, if there is a celebrity doing weird shit with their money... It's Nicolas Cage.
Really? Why do you think that?
Because he's a fucking total lunatic.
Is he? I don't know much about him.
I mean,
other than his terrible Southern accent and Con Air,
or just watch his acting where he decides to just be a weird. He bought a plot in I forget which famous cemetery in New Orleans.
Okay,
like motherfucker thinks he's a vampire.
Uh huh.
You go down there, and all of a sudden you're in this. I don't know if it's the same cemetery that it's Marie Laveau, the voodoo priestess. Mm-hmm. And you've been to the cemeteries in New Orleans, right? Oh, yeah. And you're all kind of they also say, look out, you get robbed there.
Really?
Because it's fenced in and you can get easily lost wandering in and out and somebody will stick you up and they know the way out and they just zig and zag and then you can't find them because you can't see them behind the mausoleums.
Yeah.
But you're walking through all this white pyramid, this giant white pyramid. In amongst all these old historic gravestones, that's Nicolas Cage's tombstone.
Really?
He bought it. It's his. We're sitting there, and it's funny. We're looking at all his history, and somebody else with those too. Like, you know who this is? Like, no. Like, it's Nicolas Cage's.
Hmm.
He's got a white pyramid with some Latin shit written on it. Well, I'm gonna look it up. I think if anybody's like spending money on some secret. Weird stuff.
Uh-huh.
Nick Cage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the closest one I've ever seen is him with that Civil War dude. The Eddie Murphy one.
Look at this.
Some unknown dude looks just like
that
Eddie
Murphy. Pyramid. That's his.
Wow.
And I think it's and he's like also like crazy about Superman. Like,
oh, really?
Omnia Ab Uno. I'm gonna look that up. Let me see what it says. Oh, which translates to everything from one. All right, whatever. I don't know.
Maggie Gyllenhaal and Rose Wilder Lane. Pretty spot on. There's a Christian Bale one with a what looks like a Civil War era dude with a huge beard, but yeah, pretty similar.
Tilda Swinton and David Bowie. That's a big hair thing, but they got the eyes.
Yeah.
He had one, but she had two. Did he have one eye, or did he have?
Who, Bowie?
Yeah. No, he got, there's some accident that screwed up one of his eyes. It's not a glass eye, but it screwed up one of his eyes.
Yeah, I mean, some of these aren't very good, but there's a few that look good.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
spot on.
And it's, again, and it's matching, like, you think about, like, you find, especially when there's celebrities, and you get to go through hundreds of photographs to match them up.
Yeah.
Some of them do look kind of crazy, but some of them look at that. Oh, weird clickbait on this one.
Well, Kyle, what if you're sitting around going, how do I know if I'm reincarnated? I got a few signs here that you might be.
This is what I want to hear.
Reincarnated. One, all right, I'm reading from powerofpositivity.com. They have it listed out here. Number one, you have a powerful intuition. People who have been reincarnated before, they have the ability to know things before the rest of us do.
That's not me at all.
They can go deep within to access knowledge otherwise hidden to the public, and they have a way of sensing things before they happen. Yeah. Intuitive souls may have connections to other dimensions and worlds, and they have the ability to talk to beings from other planets and galaxies. They spend a lot of time in quietude, mulling over the information they have been given and trying to make sense of it all. Okay, that's pretty vague.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm not.
Yeah. All right, number two, you have deja vu often. You ever have deja vu?
I've had it. That's another glitch in the system thing they try to blame on. Or it's, what's the scientific explanation that your brain, like the nanoseconds it takes to put events together, like the timing's just a little bit off, so everything seems... Well, deja vu, but they said it's like the kind of the linkage in your brain that's linking image with memory and knowledge of, you know, place you've been. They've had a scientific explanation for that. I knew a guy who's like, man, I get deja vu all the time, but he was just a real dipshit. I'm like, I think your life is just so boring that you do the same shit.
Oh, man. Yeah, deja vu, that's a sign. Another sign, you're highly sensitive. Reincarnated souls have a high level of sensitivity and empathy. They feel everything to the core. They feel they have a mission in life to help bring peace and healing to the planet.
Bunch of little bitches.
They have a very hard time dealing with the conflicting and turbulent energy of the world. Sometimes they need a lot of time to rebalance themselves and do inner soul work.
Yeah.
Number four, you feel like you don't belong here.
But what is this website?
This is powerofpositivity.com.
Fucking no.
You have a strong urge to visit faraway places.
Oh, you want to travel? You like food that tastes good?
Well, here's a common
sex
one.
Sex is enjoyable.
Here's a common one.
Might have been an old soul that also liked fucking.
You don't feel closely connected to your parents. That's common with some of these kids because... They're like, these little 3-year-olds are talking about past lives. They're like, mommy and daddy, you're not really my mommy and daddy because I remember my old mom and dad. You're just who I got matched up with. So they don't have a
what's this
sense.
Power of positivity? At what point are they asking for money on this website? Power of positivity or power of positive thinking?
Powerofpositivity.com.
Let me see this website. Oh, this is all 5 subtle behaviors that make people trust you. How to make turmeric lemonade this?
Turmeric.
This is all numbers, lists. Look at this. Researchers explain 5 things that seem like depression but aren't. Low blood sugar. Vitamin D. Oh, these are all just, I don't know, maybe there's some good stuff to this. Whatever, man.
Whatever, dude.
How about this? 4 hidden signs of clogged arteries. What if you were reincarnated as a vegetarian, Dave? You'd be all right. You
four signs of clogged arteries. They know your name at Helen Ray's.
What's up, Dave? You're
like Norm at Cheers. Unexpected baldness. Who expects baldness? Who's like, yep, this. I was counting on it.
This baldness completely caught me off guard.
What? pain in your calves. Crease in your earlobe. What is this thing's going to make me nuts? What? Where? Crease in your ear. What? ED. Fresh vegetables. I read the cures into signs of high blood pressure. Fresh vegetables. Well, whatever.
So what do you think, Kyle? You think it's legit?
I think that the kid with the war hero airplane fella, that I have no easy bullshit to call on that one.
Mm-hmm. There's several stories.
Where did the girl who thinks she was Helen Anne Frank, where was she from originally?
Sweden.
See, these things are all regional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's weird to think that your soul is confined to an area.
Hmm. True.
You know? Like... No, I died and my soul exists, but just only in the Midwest. Like it's like a salesman's grounds, you know?
It's my territory.
Yeah, I go from Indiana to the westernmost part of Nebraska. That's my turf. If I'm going to be reincarnated, I'm shit out of luck. I'm going to be a farmer or Ed Gein. That's what I'm going to wind up being. I don't know. What do you think?
You know what? I believe in reincarnation. I do. I think some of these stories are pretty convincing. And the overall concept, you know, I like the concept of multiple lives. In a way, though, that sounds very discouraging. Like, imagine you finally make it through life and you die. And then you're like, oh, God, it's never ending. Like the biblical concept of heaven or just eternity. Yeah. Just doing anything for eternity just seems very tiresome.
Well, but you don't know that. Maybe that's the glitch. Maybe we're all a little bit reincarnated, but when you get the full platter, you know, maybe normally you just get a little dose of it here and there.
Well, and then here's a concept we haven't even touched on is the concept of being reincarnated into an animal, not even a human.
Oh, that's the Eastern belief that you can become anything. That's why it's so random. You're going into every living thing. Only occasionally does one human soul go into another human soul. Maybe that's just our behaviors now because we're just fish and cats and shit.
Mm-hmm. And see, they can't tell us these stories.
Yeah.
A bald eagle can't tell us that he used to be a Civil War soldier.
No. And likewise, you know, you just like sushi more than other people.
Yeah.
You used to be a seabird.
What kind of animal would you like to be reincarnated as?
Ooh, man. Now you got to think about how you treat animals.
Mm-hmm.
This is what leads you to be a vegetarian if you start talking about this.
Yeah.
Or would you feel it honorable to serve someone else as a piece of delicious food?
Wow. Like there's honor in being a cow. And
well, if it's like Kobe beef or something, or we're massaging you and everything.
Oh.
Otherwise, what are you just going to be stuck in a stockyard here?
Yeah.
This is a dangerous thought. You know, a dangerous pattern of thought. If we get it, this is what, like, I was reading about something online. I was eating my vegetables today.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading about some, like, crazy crime story on Reddit or something. I'm like, oh, is that a pho place? And the woman got, like, rare brisket next to me. And I'm like, I'm glad you're not reading what I'm reading. Seeing rare brisket that she got to put in the soup herself. I'm like, reading about skin masks over here.
Mm. Did you go to that vegan? Well, no. I guess
no, it was just a place in a valley. It was good, though.
Yeah, what's it called?
Fue, F-U-E.
Hmm.
Fue, fa.
They weren't trying to do a wordplay.
No, it means like fire in some language. It
is
was
that
tasty.
One, is it one place that's called Pho King?
And there's a lot of those. Everybody thinks they're hilarious. But yeah, you don't have to make a pun on pho.
I'd like to be a bald eagle.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you get
that's
all that...
That's clogged arteries.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Unexpected baldness.
Ah, there you go.
Eagle died of a heart attack.
I like the idea of...
Balls, dick didn't work.
Like being protected by the government. The only people that would shoot you would be rednecks with shotguns, and they're very patriotic. So.
Yeah, but okay, but then you're lonely, because the reason you're protected, there's not a lot of you.
That's true.
Got a small peer group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go kick it with the...
I mean, you think Dayton is tough now.
Go kick it with the Hawks and the Falcons,
mm-hmm.
you know? But yeah, man, just flying around, eating mice. Oh, that sounds great.
I want to be, what's that, that monkey from the Taco John's ads? Whiplash.
I don't, do we have Taco John out here?
No.
Yeah.
But I saw an ad only because of Whiplash the monkey.
Hmm.
And he like, he rides on the back of a dog.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I'd want to be yeah. Yeah, probably the monkey more than the dog. Cool.
Way up in a tree, just eating figs all day.
It's kind of close to home, though. Like, I think, you know what? Some sort of deep sea creature, just to know what's down there.
Yeah,
that's where I would go.
Great white shark.
But if you're a fish, you're stupid. Mm-hmm. They're not intelligent animals.
Yeah, you can't comprehend what's going on down there. Fish are dumb.
Yeah.
You think the word would get out by now about the hooks? Don't go biting those hooks.
How many? That's like the Hedberg bit. Like to catch a fish. It's like fish just think you're trying to make them late for something. And they never believe the story. Where were you? You guys aren't going to believe it. Well, I think we did it.
Yeah, you think so, huh?
Listen to you excited about it.
Yeah.
Listen to you thrilled about it.
Yeah, glad to be here.
All right. Well, I'll say, I'm not unconvinced
mm-hmm.
about reincarnation. I'm leaving that one out there as a maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't get a lot of maybes anymore. The more we read about stuff, the more I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Maybe on the reincarnation. Next week, we might be a little bit late.
Yeah.
So I will be returning from China, and we might save it so we can talk about China.
That's true. If anybody wants to look up a few of these other stories we didn't get to, we talked about Jeff Keane. We talked about Barbara Carlin, but some others. Carson,
how bad this podcast is. Like, why don't you go look it up for yourself?
It up. Yeah. Carson Culpepper, Chase Bowman, Cameron McCauley, Ruth Simmons. Yeah, there's some interesting stories, too, we didn't have time to get to.
All right.
I didn't research them properly. Yeah, man. Anything to plug? What's going on? You're in China right now.
I'm in China.
Yeah.
Come to these gigs in China.
I'm in China. What, when's this come out?
I don't know.
Do you have your China schedule?
Nah, I'm in some. I don't know the order.
Today's February 6th.
Is it?
Yeah.
How are we?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm in Chengdu.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. It always sounds, especially coming out of our mouths.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I got a gig over in Chengdu or something.
Well, when you say it with that, with the dismissive accent, of course it sounds racist, even if it's honest.
Just imagine being, jokes in Chengdu.
Imagine being so southern, but so everything sounds racist. I got a train going up to Hong Kong, and like it just sounds right, even though you're being very factual.
In San Francisco, they have a community called Japantown,
mm-hmm.
and that just sounds. Oh, well, you staying over in Japantown?
Yeah, it's like here is called Little Tokyo, but it makes it like Chinatown doesn't sound racist.
No,
but then
Japantown,
but
does.
Chinatown, like that one should be Chinatown. The other one should be more unique. Now, when you just start putting the nationality in front of the word town,
yeah.
That sounds like white people categorizing it. Yeah.
My grandfather used to, he would speak about Japanese cars. He goes, that one there is made by J.A. Pan and Company. Okay. J.A. Pan.
Yeah.
That's his little wordplay.
What was the, I call them rice burners.
Rice burners.
The old rice burners.
Yeah.
And, old Jap crap. I remember that one, that bumper sticker in the 80s on every falling apart pickup truck.
Really?
Jap ain't no Jap crap. It's like, all right, that is a F-150 rusted out. Oh, anything to plug, Dave? A little longer intro than I thought for
what is that?
This Deicide tune.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Chengdu.
That's pretty badass right there. Is that Deicide?
Yeah, he burned a cross into his forehead. He's got a cross burned into his forehead. This guy still has to go to Ralph's for groceries.
The Boogie Monster.